Mark again asked about the word artificial. Brent, put it up there. Being specifically mentioned in the passage, or about a particular lexicon defining it in such a way that it had the word artificial, that word specifically, in a definition. Mark, I've already responded to that, but you didn't respond to my response. Remember, first of all, I said, I'd like to know if there are any lexicons that define the word catacaluto using the words, quote, long hair. He says, I've got to find the word artificial in a dictionary. That word, artificial. Well, if I do, then he's got to find the words long hair. But he didn't try to do that. That doesn't make any sense, does it? He didn't respond to anything I said about it. He just got up here and repeated his argument. You know, in Genesis 38, he thinks that's talking about artificial covering, doesn't he? Well, okay, you brought up a definition, said clothes, right? Okay, I have to check that. I need to know what that definition, the book is, because you didn't state that. We'll look at it later. Pull it up. Since he stated he had a definition on that one, we'll go to Esther 6:12. The word artificial is not found in the passage. That word artificial, you'll never find it. No Hebrew lexicons use the word artificial in defining any of the words in the passage. Yet he still thinks it's an artificial covering. Now why? Because you don't have to have that word mentioned for it to be there. You can prove it by other ways. And he knows that. He admitted that, I think, in one speech. The very first speech, he said, you wouldn't have to have the word artificial in the passage to prove that. He said you could learn it from other things. As a matter of fact, let him give us a dictionary definition that has the word long hair mentioned for catacalypto. I challenge you for the same thing. And then I asked him, I said, why did Paul use two different words? And he came back in his last speech and responded to that. He's told me that they could be used interchangeably. That's how he could. I didn't ask the question how, I asked the question why. For example, if I asked the question, how did the man put out the fire? Somebody might say with the fire extinguisher. But I ask him, why did the man put out the fire? The answer would be to save his children. Okay, the questions how and why are two different things. I admit that two different words are used. I admit that they could be used interchangeably. I'm not asking how could Paul have done that. I'm asking him, why did Paul use one Greek word all the way through and then switch in verse 15? Why? Not how. It's a different question. Why? He mentioned about Genesis 38, and he said one way that I know that it's an artificial covering, he mentioned common sense, he says that she didn't have it, but then she did. That's exactly what I'm saying about 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Notice it requires it when she prays or prophesies. And just like Genesis 38, she didn't have it, but then she did when she prayed or prophesied. And then when she wasn't praying for prophesying, she didn't. She did, and then she didn't. Now, if he can understand that Genesis 38 is talking about artificial covering that way, then he ought to be able to see that in 1 Corinthians 11. Brent 48. I brought this chart up last time. He challenged me to show that they're not used interchangeably. Well, I believe that the proof is upon him, since there's two different Greek words to show that they are used interchangeably. He said, where's one place where they're not used interchangeably? Well, this is a quote that he put up here first. I didn't bring this quote up. He quoted Leon Crouch. What did Leon say? Mr. Crouch, I should say. He says, they are certainly never used together in the New Testament. Mark, is that good enough for you? He says, they're never so used in the Septuagint or that, whatever that is. Now, you said, evidently, you think this is an authority. You quoted him. He says that there must be all there are places where they're used. They're not used together. He said they're never used together in the New Testament. I asked you, is 1 Corinthians 11 in the New Testament? Your scholar says they're not used interchangeably in 1 Corinthians 11. You asked for one place. There's one, according to your scholar. All right. Now, I believe he gave a significant argument using Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Everybody turn there because I believe it's very important. My main argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 5, is that praying or prophesying shows that Brent put up the chart, number 14, that there is a temporary covering there. Temporary covering. And he brought up Mark 11, 24 and 25 to show that that phrase would not necessarily prove that. Now, I believe it's a significant argument. It's worth consideration. We need to look at it and show that Mark 11, 24 and 25, we need to show how they are parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, 5 and how they're not, both. And then once we show that, we'll see that 1 Corinthians 11, 5, my argument on it still stands. In Mark 11, 24 and 25, I want you to notice that it says, when you pray, believe that you receive them. It says, when you stand praying, forgive. And he says, aren't we to believe all the time, forgive all the time? Well, in a general way, yeah, technically, no, you believe and you forgive when you think about it. But in a general way, yes, we do believe, and we are forgiving at all times. Okay, that's what I meant about technically, okay? Hold my time a second. Not because of that, just lost the train of thought. Now, here's the point. How does Mark know that we're supposed to believe that we would receive them at other times other than when we pray? How does he know that? Can he learn it from this passage? No. He goes to other passages to find that out, doesn't he? How does he know that we're supposed to forgive at other times than when we are praying? How does he know that? Do you learn it from this passage? No. You see, that's the difference, or one difference, between Mark 11, 24 and 25 and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. We have other passages that tell us we're to believe at other times, to forgive at other times. But Mark, there is no other passage that tells us we're to have the catacalupto covering at any other time than when we pray or prophesy. None whatsoever. Do you see the difference in Mark 11, 24 and 25? In 1 Corinthians 11, 5? There is no passage that says catacalupto covering at other times. Mark 11, 24 and 25, you can find other passages that show that we're supposed to believe and forgive at other times. Now, I want to tell you what I'm saying about this. I'm not so much saying that, in case you're confused, I'm not saying that praying or prophesying proves by itself that that is the only time that a woman has to be covered with this catacalypto covering. I'm not saying that. And you'll see what I'm saying when I say this sentence. For example, if there was another verse, say over in Romans somewhere, that says the woman ought to have the catacalypto covering when she's cooking, I believe that she'd have to have it when she's cooking too. She'd have to have it when she prays or prophesies. She'd have to have it when she's cooking. 1 Corinthians 11, 5 would not contradict another passage that says she has to have it another time. I'm not saying that that teaches that's the only time you have to have it. What I am saying is it shows that it's a temporary thing, that it's not permanent, that it's something you can put on for praying or prophesying and you can take off when you're not. You can put on for cooking and you can take it off when you're not. Here's a passage in the Old Testament. Bring it up to show you an illustration of this. These are unclean to you among them that creep. Whosoever doth touch them, when they be dead, they shall be unclean until the evening. If you touch one of these creeping things when they're dead, that's wrong, okay? Now, if you just had this passage and no other verses, that would show that any time you touched a dead bug, that was wrong. But there may be another passage that shows that it's wrong to touch a bug at some other time. But if this is all the passages you have on this, and I believe it is, you know, maybe somebody could find one, then that shows that it's only wrong to touch that bug when it's dead. Likewise, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, does not prove by itself that a woman does not have to have the catacalupto covering when she's cooking. What it does prove is that it's temporary and that she can put it on and take it off for the times that she is to do that. Okay, next chart. And to show you this further, because I know I'm not doing a good job of explaining it to you, but I believe you're going to see it from these passages. I'm going to show you some parallels and you'll see the point. You're going to see now the similarity between Mark 11, 24 and 25 and 1 Corinthians 11. You're going to see the difference between Mark 11 and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. Notice some sentences I've already been using. An artificial covering when praying or prophesying is parallel to this sentence. Bobby, be sure and wear a red shirt while at the Alabama football game. In other words, you wear a red shirt at the game, but it's permissible to wear another shirt elsewhere. He may have to wear a red shirt somewhere else, though. You know, if there's another command, you might have to do that. Now, Mark 11, 24 and 25, this is important. They're parallel to this sentence. Bobby, be sure and be good at your grandfather's house on Saturday. Notice that you're supposed to be good at grandfather's house. Does that mean that this is the only place you're supposed to be good? No. Other verses or other commands may tell us to be good somewhere else. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be good all the time. But you see that being good is something temporary. It's something you can turn on and off. You can be good while you're at granddaddy's house and be bad at some other time. Not that you should, but you can. It's possible to be good while you're at granddaddy's house, and then when you come home, be bad. That's what this shows. You see that? That's what Mark 11, 24, and 25 are showing. They show that it's possible to forgive when you're praying and not be forgiven at other times. They show it's possible to believe that you will receive them when you're praying and not at other times. You see that? Not necessarily that it's permissible, but that it's possible. And that's the big difference, because that's what I've been saying all along. Not that it proves that praying or prophesying is the only time necessarily. Another passage may show when you're cooking. But it proves a temporary thing. That's what I'm saying, a temporary thing. Can you see that? Brent, pull it back down. Can you see how they're parallel to this? Bobby, be sure and be good at your grandfather's house on Saturday, Mark 11. In other words, you're to be good at grandfather's house, but other commands would tell you to be good at other times. You see? Now, what do the artificial covering in Mark 11 have in common? How are they the same? They both prove temporariness. They both prove temporariness. In other words, it is possible to forgive at one time and not be forgiving at another time. That is possible. The long hair is not that way. That's not possible. It is not possible when you pray or prophesy to put on that long hair when you pray or prophesy and then take it back off. Do you see that? That's possible with Mark 11, but it's not possible with the hair. Pull it up. Long hair is parallel to this sentence. Bobby, be sure and be tall while at your grandfather's house on Saturday. Do you see that? This is a permanent thing, like the long hair. Remember the other one I mentioned in the example was skinny? It's a permanent thing. You can't just get tall all of a sudden on Saturday. You could maybe in 20 years if you're a child. Just for Saturday, there's no way you're going to get tall for that. It's impossible to change tallness and shortness for one day like that. And that's what I'm saying about the long hair. It's impossible to change the length of the hair like that in one day, back and forth. Now, you could cut it all off, but you can't grow it in time just to pray or prophesy. And so the phrase praying or prophesy, let me make it clear. I'm not saying it proves that that's the only time the woman has to have the catecholuto covering. The reason we know it's the only time is because there's no other passages that tell that a woman has to have a catecholuto covering at any other time. But there could be when they're cooking, okay? But what it does prove is that this covering is a temporary covering, that you can, if you choose to, put it on when you pray or prophesy and take it off when you pray or prophesy. That's, Brent, lower it down. That's how it's parallel to this sentence. Bobby, be sure and be good at your grandfather's house on Saturday. Well, it's more parallel to this one. But that's how Mark 11 is parallel. You can turn this on and off for temporary times. You can turn it on at grandfather's house and turn it off when you're not there. Do you see the point? Praying or prophesying proves that it's temporary. Here's the hair. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at your grandfather's house on Saturday. Y'all see that? That does not make any sense. That's perfectly parallel to 1 Corinthians 11:5 if you try to put the long hair in that verse. Next chart, Brent. Let's go back to Betty. Remember the questions I asked about Betty? I said, would it be possible, though not necessarily permissible, for Betty, well, this is on Mark 11. Pull it up, Brent. Here's the two questions I asked before. Would it be possible for Betty to be covered with an artificial veil during her morning prayer, cease to be covered with this artificial veil during her afternoon as she worked around the house, and be covered with this artificial veil again during her evening prayer? The answer is yes. Is that possible for the long hair? The answer was no. Now, pull it down. Let's ask the same questions about Mark 11. Would it be possible, though not necessarily permissible, for Betty to believe that you receive them during her morning prayer, cease to believe that she would receive the blessings during the afternoon as she worked around the house, and then believe again that she would receive the blessings during evening prayer? Yes, it is possible, because these things that it's talking about are temporary things. You can turn them on and off, but you cannot turn the long hair on and off. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, the catecholuto covering, the fact that it says that you must do it when you pray or prophesying shows that it's something that you can turn on and turn off. For lack of a better phrase, turn on and off. Okay? And then he mentioned 1 Corinthians 14:35, number 18, Brent. And 1 Corinthians 14:35 is the same thing. You know when it tells the woman not to speak in the church but to ask at home? Really, that's not telling her. I don't believe it. I don't think Mark believes it either. That's the only place she is to ask. No. What it's doing is giving, it's basically the idea is don't ask in the church assembly. And it's giving the home as a typical place, one that is typical of all the other places that she could ask. She might ask in a restaurant. Outside the assembly is the point. But let's suppose that it was not that way. If this understanding of the verse is not correct, but I think you all agree that it is, if Paul is specifying the home independent of other locations, two things would still be true. We know from other passages that the woman can speak at other places than at home. She can speak at other places, okay? She doesn't have to ask her husband at home, meaning she also can ask somebody else. As a matter of fact, she can teach some children at somewhere else even besides home. This is not true of the catecholuto covering. It is only required while a woman is praying or prophesying. You see the difference? Where is there a verse that requires the catecholuto covering at places other than when she prays or prophesies? There are verses that show that a woman can ask a question at another place other than her house. This verse would still show that asking a question is something that can be done on an occasion. See, that's the point. It's a temporary thing and not done on another occasion. This is not true of the long hair. Do you get the point? 1 Corinthians 14:35 says, don't ask in the church assembly, but do ask at home. You know what that shows you? That shows that asking a question is something you can do for an occasion. It's a temporary thing. You can do it at home, but not do it in the church assembly. Now, let me ask you a question. Would that be true about the long hair? Could you have long hair at home, but not in the church assembly? It's not like that, is it? It's totally different. You can't take it on or put it on and take it off for the occasion. You can about asking a question. You can about believing something or forgiving somebody. You can do that on an occasion. And that's the point. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, when it says that she is to have that covering, the catecholuto covering, when she prays or prophesies, proves that it's a temporary covering. That's all I'm saying. It proves that it's temporary. And the long hair is not temporary. You cannot put that on for an occasion. Okay? How much time? Number 6? 6 minutes. Number 9, Brent. Here's one more affirmative argument that I didn't get to last time. You know, Mark believes that verse 4, 1 Corinthians 11, includes an artificial covering. I mentioned that before, but I didn't make any kind of argument from it. If I did, it's not this argument. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4, Mark says that includes an artificial covering. Now, if I can prove that the covering in verses 5, 6, and 7 are the same covering as verse 4, then I prove by his own admission that the covering of verses 5, 6, and 7 include an artificial covering. He thinks the covering of verse 4 includes an artificial covering. If I can prove that the covering in verses 5, 6, and 7 is the same covering, then I will have proven my proposition that there's an artificial covering in verses 5 through 7. I think that's simple logic. Everybody agree with that? Now, it's up to me to prove that verses 5, 6, and 7 are talking about the same covering as verse 4, Brent. And that's easy to do. In verses, remember when I mentioned about the Greek word being in verses 5, 6, 6, 7, and 13? I didn't mention verse 4. You know why? Even though the English word covered there? Because there is no Greek word for covered there. Instead of having kalupto or a form of that, all you got is kata. Remember in the other verses you have kata, kalupto. In verse 4, you just have the prefix there. It stands alone as a whole word, kata. There is no word for covering. There is no kaluma or kata or kalupto or anything like that. In other words, the English translator supplied the word covered from the context. Like sometimes they put an italicized word there to indicate that, and another translator did that with the word, and we'll show that. First of all, I'm going to show you that this word is understood from the context. There's no Greek word for covering of verse 4, but all they do is they know verses 5, 6, and 7 are talking about the covering, so they put the English word covered in verse 4 to make it make sense. They supply. That in and of itself would show that verse 4 is the same covering as verses 5, 6, and 7, because the only reason you have covered there is because it's supplied from the context. Notice what this says. First of all, you can see this from any interlinear. Look in your interlinear and you'll see there is no Greek word for covering. It's just kata, which means down. Or it could mean completely when it's used as a prefix. Thayer, kaluma, or its equivalent, is suggested to the reader by the context in 1 Corinthians 11:4. See, he's saying it's not in there. He said it's suggested by the context. Thayer is saying there's no Greek word for covered in verse 4, but that the translators got it from the context. G.G. Finley suggested the same in the expository Greek Testament when he said concerning verse 4, a veil, kaluma, understood. Bring it up. These two say that too. As a matter of fact, McKnight's translation has it in all uppercase. It's like the King James italics, means it's supplied. I believe anybody can see this from the context. In verse 4, it tells the man to cover his head when he prays or prophesies, and it gives a reason. If he doesn't, he'll dishonor his head. It tells him to remain uncovered. I'm sorry. Verse 7 obviously is talking about the same covering, just given a different reason. He says the man indeed ought not cover his head because he's the image and glory of God. Same covering, obviously, but different reasons. Verses 5 and 6 talk about the woman wearing a covering. Verse 5 tells when she prays or prophesies. Verses 4 and 7 talk about the man and his covering. And verse 4 tells when he ought not have it. It's obviously the same covering. It's talking about the same covering all the way through 4 through 7. Just given different reasons for the different things that he's teaching. And so verse 4 includes the artificial covering. Verses 5 through 7 are talking about the same covering as verse 4. And then number 6, Brent, number 6. Let's go back to my last chart because I've only got 2 minutes. Number 6. I want y'all to think about this. I don't have any more affirmative time. I wish I had a lot more time to go into more arguments, but I don't. But if you'll think about this chart I put up there, remember Mark answered all these yes because he had to, because he knew that if he answered them like I did, yes, no, that when he got down here to be consistent, he would be proving my proposition and saying that Lucy be sure and have long hair while praying didn't make any sense. So he had to answer them all yes. Now, what that says is that if you answer these like I did, then I've proven my proposition. And you just look at it honestly. Look at it honestly. Ethel, be sure and wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game. Does that make sense? Well, certainly. Bobby, be sure, Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game. Does that make any sense? Well, if you think it does, come up and tell me after the discussion. I'd be glad to hear that. Bobby, be sure and be good while at the granddaddy's house on Saturday. Yes, it makes sense. Now, notice here. From Mark, this is parallel to Mark 11. This is not the only time he's supposed to be good, but it still makes sense to be good on Saturday. But it doesn't make sense to be physically tall at granddaddy's house on Saturday, does it? Karen, be sure and be covered with a hood right outside riding your bike. Makes sense. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Lucy, be sure and be covered with a veil while praying. Does that make sense? It does, doesn't it? It fits 1 Corinthians 11:5, doesn't it? Lucy, be sure and have long hair while praying. Does that make any sense? No. The fact that it does not make any sense, and I think everybody here can see that, shows that you cannot put the long hair in verse 5. You cannot. It wouldn't make any sense. It has to be an artificial covering. Notice, it doesn't make any sense to command a person to be skinny while at the Alabama football game, be tall while at granddaddy's house, have long hair while riding your bike, or have long hair while praying. Those things don't make any sense. So since it doesn't make any sense, don't try to put the long hair in verse 5. Leave it where it is in verse 15.
Brother Donahue, brethren moderators, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, I'm pleased once again to come before you in this, my third speech of tonight's speech or concerning this particular discussion. And I'm more convinced than ever that my position is absolutely true and that Brother Donahue's position is absolutely false. I'm more convinced of this because Brother Donahue has now stood on this floor for one solid hour, and he has not been able to do what his proposition calls for, and that is to prove the Scriptures teach. I'm more convinced due to his inability to prove this proposition. Now, there's a few things that I'm a little bit concerned about or worried about, I suppose I could say, and that is that I'm beginning to believe or agree with Brother Donahue on a few points. Number one, he makes a statement, I'm not doing a good enough job, or I'm not doing a good job explaining this. Brother Donahue, I agree with that totally. I agree with that as well. You need to take another second look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because you know that you're not only contradicting the things I'm saying, you're contradicting the things that you are saying. You remember my first question that I asked Brother Donahue? I asked him, does Paul specifically state, and before I finish reading that, let's see chart number 7. I asked Brother Donahue, does Paul specifically state in 1 Corinthians 11 that he has reference to an artificial covering when he uses the word covered, uncovered, not covered, and covering in verses 5, 6, 13, and 15? If yes, please tell where and give his statement. You remember his answer to that question? It was point blank, not any ifs, ands, or buts about it. He said no. He says that no, Paul does not specifically state in 1 Corinthians 11 that these words mean artificial, and therefore I call for chart number 7 that he hasn't yet called for, but I asked him to produce one Bible verse that shows that the word artificial is used. Oh, now in his last speech, he wouldn't dare do this to embarrass himself and have to stand up here a fourth time tonight. So what does he say? Well, in answer to my question, he says no, but without any word whatsoever, he comes up here and writes, 1 Corinthians 11 and 5. Brother Donahue, did you contradict yourself? In answer to my first question, your answer was no, that Paul does not do that. And then you get up here and say that that the word artificial is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. I'm asking you, did you contradict yourself? You say no. Well, yet I asked you the exact same question here, and you better take note. I asked you the very same question here that I asked you about here, and you said no. My first question to you, does Paul state the word artificial? You said no, but yet you give it to say yes. Well, I agree, Brother Donahue, you're having a whole lot of problems with it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. Keep in mind what he's doing. I asked him to show one Bible verse that specifically states artificial covering. He states it's in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. Well, let me read it because I've read it a lot of times, but I haven't found it yet. Here's what it says. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. I still haven't found the word artificial. Now, Brother Donahue, why did you write this in here? Are you telling this audience that the word artificial is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5? Now, I really can't see understand this right here, but I suppose it's Corinthians. If not, please speak up and let me know. Now, did Paul say the word artificial as your proposition calls for? Again, let's understand what your proposition states. It simply states, the Scriptures teach that long hair is the only covering that Christian woman must have while praying or prophesying. And you're giving us a Bible verse to show the word artificial and it's not there. Brother Donahue, you got a lot of problem because you're reading into a verse that's that does not say it whatsoever. Again, 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, read your own Bibles. Look in the Scriptures that you have before you and ask yourself the question, especially if you share Brother Donahue's view, you ask yourself the question, why does he say that artificial is found here when he knows for a point and for a fact that it is not there? But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. You might be asking, why am I keep going over this? Because this is the only thing that Brother Donahue has to say. He has to give something because he knows it makes him look bad if he doesn't give at least one Bible verse. After all, he is simply saying, the scriptures teach, but I don't have a verse. So therefore, I'm going to come up here and write a verse that actually doesn't say it anyway. Brother Donahue, I agree with you. You're not doing a good enough job with that. Again, let's go a little bit further. I want to see chart number 4A, please. Brother Donahue puts a chart up, and he deals with Leviticus 21 and verse 10, Ezekiel 44, verse 22. And Pat says that Mark believes that this refers to hair, but I do not believe it refers to hair. Pat believes that when it says in Leviticus 10 and verse 6, Leviticus 21 and verse 10, he says, and he that is a high priest among his brethren shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. He wants you to believe that that's referring to an artificial covering. But notice what the definition says. Jesenius, Hebrew lexicon, page 60, defines this word, uncover his head, as to make naked, especially by shaving. Brother Donahue, do you believe that? You said that you believe that it refers to an artificial covering. Why didn't you give one lexicon to show that it means to take off an artificial covering? You know that this lexicon, and I went over this with you in our written discussion as well, so therefore I understand, you said that it refers to an artificial covering, but yet our lexicon says it means to make naked, especially by shaving. Now, I don't know about your terminologies, but to me the word shaving simply refers to hair. Again, Brother Donahue gives a chart, and I would like to see it, please. I didn't get the number, that deals with consistency. He used it, I think, in his second speech. Now, I want you to understand some of the things here, and we're going to go over this, and I assure you we're going to go over it strong tomorrow evening. Brother Donahue, this is a great chart. The only thing, you're proving the wrong proposition. As you did in answer to my first two questions, I told you then that you are denying the proposition that you're supposed to be affirming. You're affirming the proposition that you're supposed to be denying. Notice he refers to verse 5. We're dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says, where it says, uncovered is wrong. Well, that's not exactly the words that actually state. But I understand what Brother Donahue is saying, because we find that verse 5, as we just said, well, this is the one that says the word artificial. Well, I don't understand that. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, but then he says, what was already admitted is shaven is wrong. Isn't it strange to you, Pat, that every time you find a woman being covered or uncovered, that it always refers to hair? It never states artificial. You've already admitted that. Well, you give one verse, finally, but of course you know it doesn't say artificial. You put that up there, some type of a static, of a confusion or a smoke screen. But the fact is, every time you find a woman being uncovered, it refers to being shaven or refers to a person's hair. How do I know that? Well, not only do you deal with verse 5, you go to verse 6. And you said, uncovered is wrong. Notice what it says in verse 6. If a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Yes, Brother Donahue, uncovered is wrong. But then he goes on to talk about being shorn or shaven. Pat, why didn't he go on to talk about being artificial? If it was dealing with an artificial covering, why didn't it state that an artificial covering is wrong? Why didn't it refer to the word artificial? Well, it didn't. And he knows that. He gives a somewhat of a bogus type verse to give you the idea that it does, but nowhere is it found. But notice what it does. Uncovered is wrong, shorn or shaven. Brother Donahue, what is shorn or shaven? Does it refer to hair by being shorn or shaven? You've already agreed. No lexicon, no Bible verse. Well, then you contradict yourself and you give a Bible verse, but you have already stated that no Bible verse specifically states artificial. But it talks about being shaven. It talks about being shorn or shaven. Is that hair? I believe you think so. Again, it goes to verse 13 and 15, and I'm not about to get into verse 13 and 15 tonight. We'll deal with that tomorrow evening. But the word uncovered, he says uncovered is wrong, and I agree with that. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 15 says, judging yourselves. Think for yourselves, in other words. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? What does he say after that? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have an artificial covering, it is a... No, it doesn't say that, does it, Pat? If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Now, why would you mention verses 13 and 15? You remember in our written discussion, I asked you, does Paul answer the question of verse 13 with 14 and 15? You do remember that? You remember your answer? You said yes. He does. But you've also said, even this evening, that the word artificial is not found in verses 14 and 15. He answers it when he answers the question, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered, but yet he does not refer to an artificial covering? Verses 13 to 15, uncover is wrong, Brother Donahue says, not having long hair. Brother Donahue, you talk about long hair, you talk about shaving, you talk about shorn, you talk about shaving again. All of those refers to hair. That's why I stated in the very first speech that everything that the things that you're saying is denying your own proposition. And this we will even deal with more as we go on. Again, we find, you can take that down. Okay, Brother Donahue, I asked for Brother Donahue if he would, in chart number 7, to give us one Bible verse or one lexicon. Now, I did not require him to give both. I wanted him to either give one Bible verse that shows that the word artificial is used, or one lexicon to show that the word artificial is referred to in covered, uncovered, not covered, and covered. Well, Brother Donahue turns this around on me, and I suppose he thinks that this really hurts. He turns around on this and says, well, I want Mark to show me about long hair. Take your Bible. I want to give you the greatest lexicographer that ever lived. And his name is referred to as the great Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, as Brother Donahue will agree, it says, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair. Is that the same long hair, Brother Donahue? For her hair is given for a covering. I do not have to go to a Greek lexicon to show you something that the Scriptures point blank states is a covering. Your problem is that you cannot really give a Bible verse that says artificial, and you cannot even give one lexicon or one dictionary that defines these key words as artificial. If you can, why haven't you done it? This audience knows the problem that you're in when you get up here and you put down a Bible verse because you feel stressed to have to do so, and you know that you cannot do it. Well, again, Brother Donahue goes over, he wants to know about this idea of covered. He said that he never read the definition of the word covered in Genesis 38, 14, and 15 as being referred to as clad and clothed. Look in Strong's dictionary. And you're Genesis 38, verses 14 and 15, that's dealing with the chart that he used where it said, and she put on her widow's, she put her widow's garment off of her and covered her with a veil and so on. The word covered there in verses 14 and 15 emphatically refers to, is defined as clothed or clad. Therefore, it necessitates an artificial covering. Again, he wants to know, as I've really already answered the question, you can take this off. Brother Donahue also asked concerning these two words. He wants to know that katakalupto and parabolaion. Why does Paul use this? Why does he refer to katakalupto, katakalupto, katakalupto? That's the word covered in verses 5, 6, and 13. And then all of a sudden change and go over to another word called parabolaion. Well, Brother Donahue, I've already explained that to you one time, and that is because he could do it. He could do it, and Brother Donahue knows he could. Brother Donahue, let me ask you a question. If he could use it, if he could use these terms interchangeably without violence, as you so plainly declared, I'm asking you, why do you challenge it? You know he can. Again, let's see the chart that he used concerning Leon Crouch. Now, in this particular chart, I gave one to show very similar, and Brother Donahue says, well, he makes a play on the fact that it says they are certainly never used together in the New Testament. Well, Brother Donahue, that's not a problem. Exactly what I said is true. They are not used in they're not used together in the New Testament like they are in Genesis, in the passage that I mentioned to you earlier, in Genesis chapter 38. But we find here that he says that they're never used together in the New Testament. They're never used in the very same, in the same verse or in the same sentences as in verses 13 through verse 15. But yet the key thing that you simply ignored, do you agree with the fact that these words can be used interchangeably? Now, I don't know what your problem is with that, because you've already stated they can be used interchangeably, but then you get up here and say, well, they're not. Well, if they can be and you say that they're not, you got a problem, because you're really simply contradicting yourself. Again, you deal with this idea of praying or prophesying, and that you said that, well, praying or prophesying does not mean that it's the only time that they have to be covered. Pat, well, you talked about cooking, and you got a book, chapter, and verse about that. I guess it's right after this one with artificial, isn't it? Because, no, you won't find this idea of cooking in there as well. You say that praying or prophesying does not mean that it's the only time. I agree with you. How do I know? Because the Apostle Paul also states that her long hair is given for a covering. You referred to the passage of Scripture where I used to show, let's see, chart 17b, please. First Corinthians 13 and verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And Brother Donahue said, well, at home is simply a typical place. Is that home, is it restricted to home? Well, of course it's not, because you even referred to an idea, if I understood you right, possibly to a restaurant, that they could do so. Well, I agree that at home is not a, even though it's a specific place, it's not restricted to that. The same way, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, he refers to praying or prophesying. And I want you to understand, if you can take at home to mean any other place, you can take praying and prophesying to refer to any other place as well. Again, you can take it all. Again, you can refer to verse 4. Now, notice 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, please. He makes somewhat of a play, and again, I don't really understand why he does this, because he's certainly not proving an artificial covering. But 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, first of all, deals with man. He can't prove it with a woman. He can't prove this artificial covering with a woman, so therefore he wants to go to man. Well, let's see what verse 4 says. Every man, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, that's in the English words, are very closely resembles verse 5. But Brother Donahue stands up here and says that kata, did I understand you to say that this stands alone for the whole word? I'm certain I did, and I would like for you to give a book, chapter, and verse, or a lexicon, or something to show that. Did that come from up here? You said that the word kata in verse 4 stands alone for the whole word. I want you to prove that. I believe that you have simply given something that you know is not the case. You couldn't prove that, I don't believe, if your life depended on it. But if you can, I'll be more than happy to apologize to you for that. But you will not find it, and you better believe tomorrow evening I'm going to ask you for it. So come up with it. Again, I made the statement that this word kata in verse 4, that the word covered in verse 4 dealing with man, it is not restricted only to an artificial covering, nor to any particular type of covering. How do I know that? Because the interlinear simply says that the interlinear in verse 4 would simply say, every man praying or prophesying having anything on his head. Brother Donahue, do you agree that the word kata in verse 4 is defined, and you want to say whatever it means or refers to, but that it refers to anything? I will simply close with these few words. I asked in chart number 7 for Brother Donahue to give one book, one chapter, one verse, one Bible passage to show the word artificial, and he says he cannot do it. But yet, he tries to give a verse, but he simply cannot do it. Please come back with us tomorrow evening. And tomorrow evening, I'm going to show you why I changed from Brother Donahue's position.